live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 211. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I will be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. Big show this evening, guys. We have a big show. NBA playoffs, we are in the conference finals, Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals. We are there. Tonight, we have Game 5, Heat Celtics. We'll be talking that. We've got the Pacers. Last week's show we did on Thursday. We didn't get to talk much into it, but the Pacers have the sixth pick overall, so we're a week later now. Where are we going to see with that? We've got that to talk about tonight. The NHL playoffs are still rolling through. We've got the PGA Championship thoughts, news from the NFL, whether it belongs to the city, also Colts information, just some news and notes from around the league as well, and the Indy 500 preview tonight on the show, giving you the betting odds and such. But my man Jonathan Birdsong has joined us. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. Kind of got caught. If anybody live in the Circle City, man, kind of got caught in a little bit of a monsoon, so I do apologize for my lateness. But I'm here and I'm ready, man, ready to talk some sports. I know, you know, saying, as far as the Circle City is concerned, we got the Indy 500 just right around the corner this weekend on Sunday. And I know people are amped and hyped about that. No, man, just ready to talk some sports, man, whether it be Pacers, NFL, you know, auto racing, what have you. So let's get, you know, I know you gave it a rundown, so continue, as you know, saying, give us a rundown.
Yeah, absolutely. First, let's dive in, John. Let's talk NBA playoffs, both conference finals matches, four games in on each side. Let's go right now to the big one tonight, Game 5, Heat Celtics. When I think I have an idea of what this series is going to be, it totally throws me off. And it goes completely opposite. And I almost want to say that when I woke up today that I have the same problem, because I woke up this morning and I looked at the betting odds, and it has the Celtics, a 3-point favorite on the road in Miami. And it doesn't take a genius to say, really? Like, we know how good the Miami Heat are, and they're at home, and they play well at home. And they're 3-point underdogs at home. Like that just makes you want to take them, right? You would think. But that's one of those odds that, you know, you smell a rat and you see the trap and that cheese, and you like
don't
know that you're going to pick it up and that door's going to slam shut. But you're like, but that cheese looks good, right? So do you take the Heat plus the 3, with that, or I just don't know. And there was rumors today that Bam Adebayo was going to be out because multiple sources supposedly have said that he has COVID, tested positive for COVID, and is out tonight. But I just got a report from, I just saw on Twitter from the main guys, that Bam is out on the court warming up, and it's an odd behavior for a guy who supposedly has COVID, reporting according to reports. So he is warming up. Quote, he does not have COVID. So Bam is playing tonight. John, Celtics minus 3 on the road. It just smells like a rat. And this series has got me all flustered.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you flustered, Brandon. I kind of called. I think the series is going 7, right, which it would be a – and I know people kind of look at the Celtics and see more offensive firepower, more defensive, you know what I'm saying, mindset, you know what I'm saying, right? On both sides of the ball than they, and ultimately more star power, right? You got Tatum, you have Jaylen Brown, you have the elder statesman, oh my goodness, man, I'm ashamed for me on that member's name, but you got Al Horford, and you have, you know what I'm saying, the defensive player of the year in Smart. And on the other side, you have Jimmy Butler, who got snubbed, right, from any of the all NBA teams, and you have, and little star power in you know what I'm saying, in all-star in Bam Adebayo, and you know, and then even Tyler Hero, not necessarily an all-star, but you know what I'm saying, a award winner himself this year, sixth man. But the star power, you know what I'm saying, is on the side of the Boston Celtics. So that's kind of the reason why people have kind of gone, and they beat the champs. I don't want, you can't take away how much they took the champs, the Milwaukee Bucks, the past. In the previous series to seven, and how that series went down. So I get why, you know what I'm saying, the oddsmakers have Boston. But, again, it's not like this Miami Heat team is a bunch of, like, it's veteran late. You know what I mean? So awards don't necessarily win games for you. You know what I mean? So as far as you betting, Brandon, I would take Miami tonight.
The
cheese in the cage would take Boston as much as that beatdown they put on the Heat in the last game, right? And it wasn't even close the last game. But you know what I'm saying, this Miami team has a way of, once their back is you know what I'm saying, backs are to the corner, they have a way of showing improvement and showing up. And I think we get the best versions of Jimmy Butler tonight. I don't know if Tyler Hero is available. I know he's, you know what I'm saying, nursing a leg injury, but you know what I'm saying, those teams in a one game vacuum, you know what I'm saying, small nicks and bruises, or not necessarily tears or anything, or definitely not breaks, but small nicks and bruises can, you know what I'm saying, get taped up or whatever, and you know what I'm saying, guys can go out there and they can perform. So I think we get the best version of Miami. I don't expect a blowout at all in game five. And you can kind of throw out the record book, too, as far as, like, what game five means when a team wins game five. Usually whoever wins game five is right, statistically wins the series. Because, again, I think this is going seven. And, you know, by game seven, it's going to be, like, I don't know. It's like flip a coin who you think is going to win. So, for your betting purposes, whether, you know what I'm saying, rats, cheese, mice and cheese or whatnot, I would take the Heat tonight. But, again, I don't think it's going to be – it's not going to be easy. They're going to have to get the best version of all their star players and also their bench. And their bench, they've got a bright spot in their bench when they had Victor Oladipo. Even though he scored in the previous game to this last game, to that ugly last game, he only scored 5 points, but he came with some great defensive efforts, three steals, and you know, a couple of not a defensive closeouts as the Boston Celtics try to come back from that 26-point. That they were down early with 26 points. So, Brandon, I know what everybody, the streets are saying that the Boston Celtics, and they might potentially win this series overall, but as far as tonight's game, I'm going with the Heat.
Okay. I'm going to take the Heat, and I just doubled my bet. I took the Heat plus the 3 points, and I took the Heat money line. So let's make it a double winner tonight. As much as I got the Celtics to win the series, I think Miami wins tonight, bounces back, and we're looking good there. Marcus Smart. John, you got to say what he's the kind of the wheel that makes that engine turn a little bit, or the engine that makes the wheel turn. Mark, there we get that analogy right. Marcus Smart. Tatum had a horrible, was it two games ago, 3 of 15 and seven
right.
Turnovers, just terrible ball possession by Tatum. Not one guy has stepped up that's played every single game and has kind of been that, because both lineups have been, you know, sporadic of who's coming in, who's coming up. And I sent you a screenshot the other night. I said, I don't think I've ever seen an 18-1 start of a game.
Right, yeah. Maybe during the regular season, or during preseason, but that's like I said, game four was over before they even tossed the ball. So I don't know. You know, you mentioned Marcus Smart. All championship teams have a guy with edge, or as I said, a guy that's a little crazy. You know what I mean? Marcus Smart hairs dyed green. it's kind of odd to me, man. Like this dude running around with green hair. I get it. He's immersed in Celtic culture. You know, saying you have to salute that if you're a Boston Celtics fan. But you know, after all the years of them trying to figure out who was going to be the starting point guard. You know, saying whether if you remember the Kyrie Irving experiment and some of the other players, Kemba Walker that they brought in, the point guards that they needed was right there all along. You know, so but he gets them going. You know what I'm saying? He's there. He's the guy. He leads. I think he leads the league, or he's second. He leads the league in charges taken. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's improving. He's improving his clutch ability to be. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to hitting shots from the outside. So and of course, and getting to the free throw line as well too. As he, like I said, he's like third in getting to the free throw line on that particular squad. So
who's got the better role players?
Say what now? Give me one more time.
Who has the better role players? If you had to pick a squad.
So, like, man, that's a real hard question, Brandon, because are we not witness, like, the two, at least for the East? I can't, you know what I'm saying? I think Golden State has great culture, too, and I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, bemoan them or put them down. But, like, are we talking about some of the great cultures as far as professional basketball is concerned when you're talking about Miami and Boston? You know what I'm saying? Don't they have some of the better scouts that they see something in a Duncan in Miami? They see something in a Duncan Robinson. They see something in one and being patient with Victor Oladipo. Now again, they kind of got Victor Oladipo on the cheek, but again, we're talking about a guy who's coming off two knee surgeries that everybody kind of had written him off of, and the Pacers felt that they probably dodged a bullet, you know what I'm saying, or you know what I'm saying, by not signing him long term, you know what I mean? But hell, even Bam Adebayo, I think was a lottery pick, but he's like bottom part of lottery because he was like a one and done at Kentucky, I do believe. And I didn't expect this type of production out of Tyler Hero, you know what I'm saying, at all. So I think those two. It's a tough question, Brandon. I can't really answer because again, I can expand upon what Boston has done. Hell, remember Boston's the one that finessed everybody and took Jason Tatum third when he probably should have been number one overall in that particular draft. If anybody remembers who number one draft pick, that was Markelle Fultz, and he's been on two different teams since. Yeah, since he's been number one overall pick. So just great cultures that they kind of put together. So I think the cream of the crop is the reason why these two teams are here is because they have star power, you know what I'm saying, and they have a great culture. They have great coaching. And Eric said, it's hard to say who has the better role players because, again, you know, both teams depend upon veteran, you know what I'm saying, whether it's Al Horford, Victor Oladipo, you know what I'm saying? Both teams depend upon veteran and the young players to get it done. And there's no really, like, hang your head on, like, well, Jason Tatum didn't play great tonight. That's too bad. Somebody's got to step up. Jimmy Butler was out basically the second half of game four or game three. It's too bad. Next man up. And it's not necessarily a mantra where you want to see it actually is the next man up. So it's a hard question saying who has the best rope. I couldn't answer you that one.
Man, I'll try to get something out of you, and I can't even get that. I can't even get it. You're too political. looking at the other side, Mavericks, Warriors. Warriors, the Dubs are up 3-1. You know, I thought they were going to kind of go for the kill shot last night. Well, Shams just reported Marcus Smart will return tonight for Game 5 against Miami. But looking at the Warriors, I figured they would try to get that kill shot last night. That way they can get some rest and prepare for Tyler Hero's out tonight. That way they could get some rest for the NBA Finals. But, you know, it's the NBA, and I didn't think the Mavericks were going to go down without a fight. With that being said, you know, Luka... The ball is always in Luka's hand. Luka, obviously, hell of a scorer. Defender, not so much. John, I texted you and said, you know, is Luka the equivalent of, like, James Harden when he was with the Rockets? Like, the ball is always in his hand. He's their main scorer, but you really don't have a second threat to let's be real. Jalen Brunson, okay, good serviceable guy, but not somebody you're going to count on season after season as a Robin to Batman, right? So
sure.
I thought about that comparison, and somebody asked me, you know, who would I compare him to, what he's doing. I said I'd have to do James Harden with the Rockets because the defense isn't really there. The ball always has to be in his hand for playmaking and scoring, and he really doesn't have anybody else to rely on right now on that squad. Fair assessment?
Yeah, don't think – James Harden, no, because I think their workout both their workout programs probably mirror one another. There's no a lot of heavy lifting or anything like that, or like supreme conditioning with the Luka Doncic. I didn't mess up. Call him Doncic. Luka Doncic or James Harden. Here's what I'll say, Brandon. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is a real good job by Jason Kidd, right? It has to be because, you know what I'm saying, they've taken a step. The team overall has taken a step. They went away from a different – they went with a different voice and that's why Jason Kidd's the head coach. Rick Carlisle's here. You know, Jason Kidd is there now. They got a Kristaps Porzingis off their roster. Again, you know what I'm saying, somewhat of an anchor, not necessarily somebody wanting to win. They might say that Kristaps Porzingis might say the right thing, but, you know what I'm saying, what was translated on the basketball court wasn't the right thing, right? And again, Jason Kidd likes to run a little bit more up-tempo style and likes putting the ball in the guard's hands and make a decision. This is the best version of Jalen Brunson that we've seen since he's left Villanova. If anybody remembers, you know what I'm saying, the run that he had, in Villanova and winning national, cutting down the banner and winning national championship, right? But again, to your point, no, not necessarily that all-star caliber kind of guy that you can depend upon to be that running buddy long term. What that team really needs is a stretch four, stretch five, somebody like a prime, you know what I'm saying, healthy Anthony Davis, even Kevin Love kind of guy. Are those guys around the league? Yes, but that's something for the future, right? That they can kind of talk about once they get into the off season. You know what I mean? I've kind of liked what I've seen out of Luka. Out of Brunson. I think, you know what I'm saying, this summer he's a free agent. I think he's going to get a lot of offers, potentially even from to be retained even with his own team. It'd have been interesting, even though they won last night. Everybody kind of knows or feels like this is the end, still the end of the Dallas Mavericks, and that Golden State, as Steph Curry likes to say, put him to sleep. You know what I mean? He'll put him to sleep at some point during the next game. But like, what does this team look like full power? Tim Hardaway Jr. is on the sideline. You know, and that's primarily like another shooter. But this team lacks is a quality big that's able to stretch the floor and to get buckets, above the rim buckets or even to protect the rim. And that's why the rumors have kind of swirled. And I'm not going to say shy away from them. That's why the rumors have kind of had them potentially going after a Miles Turner or even a Rudy Gobert sometime in the off season. Again, Rudy Gobert doesn't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, shouldn't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, it ain't going to necessarily ring. Nobody's going to be putting up championship banners if Rudy Gobert is with the Dallas Mavericks. Nobody's going to be ready to crown him, but it does improve their locker room. Again, that's something that kind of, they got out rebounded. So I go back to the game. Game four, they got out rebounded by Andrew Wiggins. And again, Andrew Wiggins has had an eye-opening season this whole year.
Yeah.
But there's no way Andrew Wiggins should out-rebound your front court. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason why, you know what I'm saying, a team like Golden State who probably still wishes in the back of their mind that Wiseman, the number one overall pick they had 2 years ago, was their starting center. There's no way they couldn't. You know what I'm saying? But again, so the Dallas Mavericks, even though they won last night, they're kind of exposing themselves as a team that lacks consistency defensively. Offensive rebounds is not something that they're not a plus at. Defensive rebounds, you know what I'm saying? Again, possession, part of basketball, winning basketball is having the ball, possession. And if you don't have a great rebounder, you know what I'm saying, you're not going to be in games at all. So, again, that's something. Again, we can say that the Mavs are kind of dead in the water, right? They're probably, you know what I'm saying, on fumes or whatever. Last night was a hawk them up, you know what I'm saying? If I could use a term from the 80s, WWE 80s term, right? Last night was like, we didn't want to get swept type of game, right? But you can't expect them to shoot. I think what they shot, like 25 or 20 out of 30 or something. It was something crazy last night. Three-pointers. You can't expect them to
shoot. 41 threes, I think.
Yeah, but it was like a high. It's like 20. It was 41. Actually, he shot like 25 out of 41. I do believe. So again, man, you can't expect them to do. You expect a team, right? If you're telling me that any team could outshoot Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and the up and coming Jordan Poole, man, you're crazy. That's not gonna happen. You know. So again, it was a great game. The team is great. You know what I'm saying? went team effort last night. Plus, we also have to remember the Warriors played very casual. As somebody said, our follower Ryan Pack said on the live chat, the Warriors played very casual all the time. So, you know, I expect the Warriors to close them out the next game in. And again, I think the Mavs will be looking at some of the things I said, looking for a big man, looking for rebound help, looking for some toughness inside. Don't necessarily have to be an all-star. Could be a fringe kind of guy. All, you know what I'm saying, a Paige Osiakam, a Miles Turner, even, you know what I'm saying, potentially, right? But, again, that's something that you have to look on the offseason. So, but, again, I think the Warriors kind of close them out next on the next game.
Okay. All right. Looking around the league, you know, last week we did our show on Thursday, the Indiana Pacers. They got the sixth pick, kind of, you know, wasn't the top five that we were looking for. But, John, as we look now almost six days later, almost a week, we're starting to kind of see mock drafts pop up everywhere. I think I've seen about 15 mock drafts that that's kind of how the first round kind of plays out with these guys. You know, I've seen some that have Jabari Smith going number one to Orlando. That Orlando really likes Jabari Smith. Seen Chet Holmgren going to Orlando possibly. I see it more of the two-horse race from what I'm getting at from these mocks. It's either Jabari Smith or Chet Holmgren. And then Banchero is going three to Houston. And then 4, 5, and 6 have been interesting because it's kind of been a mishmash between Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray, and Shaedon Sharpe from Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'll say from Kentucky, but the kid never actually played a ball game for Kentucky. And, the fact that I read the article regarding him, because I'm trying to do some more information so I can write my next blog about him. The kid said he wanted to enroll into – he was the number one player in high school. Okay, went to Kentucky, graduated high school early, got all his stuff done, wanted to go to commit to work out and get his body ready for Kentucky. And Calipari says, yeah, he's not going to play this year. He's just going to spend the rest of the season preparing his body, yada, yada, yada. And then they go, well, he says, yeah, I'm going to be playing next year. And then back in March, Calipari says, yes, Shaedon Sharpe's going to be the guy. He's going to be playing next year. And then 2 weeks later, Shaedon Sharpe says, I'm declaring for the draft and hiring an agent. So he completely duped Calipari in Kentucky the whole time while he was there. So I don't really want to call him a Kentucky. But Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray, Shaedon Sharpe, Pacers are looking like they're going to get their choice of one of those three. I personally am good with any of those three. I think they play
really
well. I am. I think Murray is the best option.
Sure.
I think second
right.
is Shaedon Sharpe, and then third I would take Jaden Ivey, only because the position that Ivy's at, that shooting guard position, it is heavily stocked already in Indiana, and I don't know how Haliburton, Hield, and Ivey would play together as much as Murray working with Haliburton. And then also being the opposite of Miles Turner, that big, if Turner ends up staying, at least Murray, his 6'8" figure, can play that power forward position, for the Pacers, and look good. And if you look at, Shaedon Sharpe, 6'5" shooting guard as well. So what's your thoughts, John? We're 6 days in, those three names, and then kind of there at the top of the chart.
Yeah. I shared a little bit of my mock on the Crossroads, on the Crossroads Sports Facebook page. I don't necessarily have my mock in front of me. I had Banchero going number one to Orlando. I know, you know, some other mocks had the Jabari kid from Auburn going number one. I don't – Orlando, if Orlando's smart, I'm not saying they are or they aren't. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm saying they are not. But if Orlando's smart, they take Banchero number one. And then, you know, saying I think Oklahoma has number two, the second pick. They have a good eye for scouting, and they also have, you know, saying that team is not necessarily wanting. I'll be honest with you, Brandon, they're not necessarily wanting to win right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that they're tanking for the future, or waiting, but that team is kind of like building up talent with draft picks and you know what I'm saying and young players. Very young team. It might be the youngest team in the league. I think they go with Ted Holmgren at number two. Somewhere Jabari, you know what I'm saying, Smith ends up, you know, like I said, like either third maybe to Houston or potentially even second to Oklahoma. It kind of depends how what Oklahoma feels like. If I was running, I guess I should say if I was running the team, right, I don't think Jaden Ivey gets past pick four. Okay? Jaden Ivey, as far as the guards are concerned in this particular draft, he's probably a dual guard more so in this league. He can play point guard, play shooting guard. He's at 6'4". I don't think Jaden Ivey goes past pick four. But again, that kind of it's kind of a head-scratcher if he goes to Sacramento, because then you're looking at De'Aaron Fox and a backcourt of De'Aaron Fox, Jaden Ivey, and we got the one kid in the draft with Sabonis. But they have the other kid that they just drafted last year from Baylor.
Duarte.
You know what I'm saying? So, So, no, I'm talking about the Kings. The Kings had the kid from Baylor. Davion Mitchell. So there's no way the Pacers, I mean, they might work him out, sure, but there's no way the Pacers get the opportunity to even draft Jaden Ivey. Unless the Pacers have something else in their mind where they want to move up, and I know that's a rumor, that's been rumored too, with them being aggressive and moving up in the draft and improving the roster and in that direction, moving up from six, going to like maybe second or third, right? Because who knows if I can't see Orlando wanting to trade, making to do a deal. I could see maybe Houston wanting to do a deal, maybe to move up. So like, who would the Pacers pick? If they got the third pick, what could they package up? Would it be a Brogdon name that kind of goes out there? Could it be even a Miles Turner name that gets, you know what I'm saying, or even somebody, or even that expiring contract in Ricky Rubio that they would maybe add into that mix, you know what I'm saying, to make another team financial? Because there's other financials that kind of come into play, right? But if everything stays the same, right, and then there's no trade made, at least in that particular way, in that first round, and the Pacers pick is six, as long as the Detroit Pistons don't pick Keegan Murray at five, that's a solid super pick for the Pacers to pick Keegan Murray out of Iowa, a guy that can play both four positions, you know, small forward, power forward. And you know what I'm saying? And if anybody remembers him during the Big Ten tournament, he lit up all the Indiana teams.
You're not worried about the age?
No, man, who really cares, dude? You know what I mean? Don't
I'm just saying, people are talking about it.
He's 22. He's 22 years old or whatever, and he has some more eligibility. So there's a little bit of a head scratcher, but like, nah, man, did we have any question marks about Chris Duarte and him being 25 as a 25 years or 24 and a half?
Not yet. Ask me in 4 years.
Right. So like, nah, man, you want to put a mature team out there. I rather would have a mature guy than an 18 year or 19 year old guy. Depending with this locker room. You know, with this locker room, like, is there a David West in this locker room right now? I'm gonna say no. Is there and Antonio Davis? Well, you know, when the Pacers had that youth movement, and if anybody remembers, that was 20 years ago when they had Al Harrington and they had Jermaine O'Neal. There was a lot of veterans on this team that kind of helped usher those guys. You know what I'm saying, their way into the NBA. You had a Reggie Miller, you had a Dale Davis, you had Antonio Davis that kind of helped, you know what I'm saying, navigate these NBA waters for these young players. So I'm right. Cool with them taking the Keegan Murray. The sharp kid, Brandon, got a lot of red flags kind of come up with him. And not just because I'm a Hoosier and he went to Kentucky. Like, why didn't you play? That's why I would say, why
get his body right.
Was he running away from competition? You know what I'm saying? Because we know it ain't about the pay. Couldn't have been about the money that he got funneled to him from UK, right?
Wow.
So how hard is he going to I'm calling it what it is. We know Calipari got paid to play. You know what I'm saying? One and done. That's not, this ain't ESPN. We don't have to be, you know what I'm saying? We can be totally transparent on Crossroads Sports, right? But like, nah, man, why didn't he play? Would be a question. And like, are you gonna max out on if when you get this $3 million? I think the number six pick or whatever makes like $3 or $4 million, something like that. You know, it's weighted. The first pick gets this, the second pick, and so on and so forth. Are you gonna max out, or to try to get better, to try to get to the secondary contract, or are you gonna just chill out and be like, oh man, I made it here, I'm cool. You know, so there's a lot of there's a lot of red flags with that particular Sharp kid. But, like, man, in a perfect world, the Pacers would be picking Keegan Murray. That's for darn sure.
Okay. Okay. By the way, I didn't realize till the other day. Did you – I thought Cassius Stanley, who the Pacers picked in the 2020 second round draft, I thought he was still playing for the Mad Ants and the Pacers organization. Because I thought about maybe trying to give him some pull, get him some play up here. And then I found out he actually signed with the Detroit Pistons last year. So I was totally off. Didn't even realize that.
Well, wasn't he a second rounder?
Yes, 56 overall.
Yeah, you know, that ain't always guaranteed. So that's probably why that is. But, yeah, we thought he was athletic as hell, man. But, you know, you still got to be able to get on that court and shoot and all those things. And if you can't do that, then you can't, you know what I mean, you ain't going to play for these Pacers, so.
Yeah. Also, another mock I saw, I think John would like. John's a big fan of this guy. At number 31, has the Pacers taken E.J. Liddell from the Ohio State at number 31. 6'7", 245, power forward. I think you just trade the damn pick and try to get some value on something else.
Is E.J. Liddell... You know what I'm saying? It's not a bad pick, Brandon. That wouldn't be a bad pick. The turnaround time, like how are you gonna wait? Again, his game is bubbling. His game is on an arc, you know what I'm saying, that you kinda like, you know what I mean? But like how quick of a turnaround do we really want? I do as a Pacer fan, right? You want a quick turnaround to where you
right.
compete for the play in or 7-8, 7-8-9 the spot, right? That's what you want. And again, this Rick Carlisle, like, dude, like, people are going to be – it's going to come up, dude. Like, you haven't won a significant playoff game since you won the championship, and that was, you know what I'm saying, many moons ago, you know?
Right.
So, we broke – you know, the team has been – you know what I'm saying, Sabonis traded him away. There's speculation about what they're going to do with Miles Turner. Again, Brandon, they haven't offered him a contract. I think if you read the tea leaves, man, I don't think Miles Turner is going to be here. I don't think Miles Turner is going to be here. So
I think,
you know,
he is.
Brandon, then what? Free agency starts in July, so we shall see. But we shall see. But if he makes it through I'm telling you right now, and I know this is May. If he makes it through the month of July without getting offered a contract, he's walking into the regular season, he'll be traded before February.
All right. looking also at college basketball ranks, one guy withdrew from the NBA draft possibilities. Trace Jackson Davis returning to Indiana. Woodson kind of said today that, you know, he's got to work on that jump shot. And he can't be his failure right now is his jump shot, his jump shooting. So Woodson said it today. He kind of held back no punches on that. But Trace Jackson Davis back to IU. That's good for the Hoosier faithful as they try to improve on the beginnings of Mike Woodson's era last year to get a higher NCAA tournament berth.
Yeah, first and foremost, man, the Hoosiers. I heard a little bit of Coach Woodson's interview. I heard more so of Trace Jackson Davis' interview. And both kind of, you know what I'm saying, both of them kind of said the same thing, resonating that his game has to improve better. Improve better by meaning, you know what I'm saying, has to become a more effective jump shooter and has to get a better right hand. But be honest with you, man, like, they got to win games in the Big Ten. They got to get to the tournament and not just one game and then you're out. They had a playing game and then you're out. They have to – I mean, this is IU basketball. They want to be – consider still a blue blood serious contender, you know what I'm saying? You got to contend for the Big Ten. I know it's harder. It's easier said than done than winning it, so that's why I didn't say win. But you got to contend for the Big Ten and get back to the tournament and then have a run. You know, otherwise, you know what I'm saying, Trace Jackson Davis, it'd be great if he could start turning into a three-point marksman. But, you know what I'm saying, his draft status, it is what it is. I'm being honest with you, what draft – like Brandon in a vacuum, right? I hate to say that again. Let's say next year he improves his 3-point shooting. He takes more threes and he improves his 3-point shooting to 45%. Do you think he's really going to jump from the second round to the first round, like to the top 10? No, he's not. So, because again, he's still limited. There's other things they're going to, you know what I'm saying, pick apart on his game, his ball handling, you know what I'm saying, free throw shooting, that type of thing. His strength as a, like, can he be a low post threat in the NBA? You know what I mean? So, but I put the emphasis back on this. Like, we got to win. That's what I kind of wanted to hear. I heard a little bits and pieces, parts of it, but they got to win the game. And then everything else kind of come to play for them, whether, you know what I'm saying, the scouts kind of see, you know what I mean, what Trayce Jackson-Davis can or can't do on the next level. But they got to win games, and they, you know what I'm saying, that should be their primary focus, not necessarily getting Trayce Jackson-Davis back into a lottery type of talk right. Situation.
Okay. All right. John, I want to give me Christmas. I just read something on Twitter. You know what? It's a good opportunity before we switch gears. I just read that another quote student was caught in Texas tonight with a AK-47 rifle. John, we just talked about this last week, and we could spend a few minutes on it because it's what's going on in the world right now. But
sure.
I was golfing yesterday when I got that notification about that the school shooting, and it's just
mm-hmm.
you know, and I saw your messages that you were posting as well. We just said it last week. What do? You say moment of silence. I'm sorry. I thought Steve Kerr said it best, and I try not to put political stuff out there or anything like that.
Right.
You know, try to kind of keep my own. But when I saw Steve Kerr, I said that's perfect. That is absolutely the best thing to say, because how many times are we going to say, well, thoughts and prayers, a moment of silence, you know, it's the American way. Well, I just saw today, the American way is, well, that stinks, and then we move on, right? I mean, come on.
No, it to me, it more than stinks.
Right.
To me, it more
yeah,
than stinks. I'm not saying to belittle, you know what I'm saying? To me, it more than stinks, man. And if anybody wants to rewind what we said last week, I encourage you to do so, man. But I'll even add on to it. I will pick on any political party for them to do something to check the billionaire. That's what we pay these people to do, to check the billionaires, to check, you know, to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, maybe prices on guns are too high or too low, Brandon. You ever think about it? I know I was going to put that out there. Prices on guns is too low. And I get, you know what I'm saying, an assault rifle is $1,000. Maybe it needs to be $12,000. And then everybody
raise the bullets. Raise the bullets. Price of bullets.
All right. I know Chris Rock. Yeah, Chris Rock had a bit back in the mid '90s where he said bullets need to be $5,000 a piece. And then you and I know it's a joke, but like he's, you know, what I'm saying,
not wrong.
There's truth in comedy, because if bullets are $5,000 a piece, hell, people would, if I didn't hit my target, they would be picking bullets out of the house. Oh man, I need that bullet back, dude. I just wasted my money, right? So like, no, man. There needs to be something done, and you know, if you're waiting on a Democrat or Republican or Independent to do it, then you know what I mean. I feel like we damn near just gonna be waiting. And again, I know I shouted out the governor. Shame on me, man. Please don't nobody dox me or send me any type of harassment. You know what I'm saying? Because again, man, I haven't heard nobody. It ain't just mass shootings, Brandon. It's shootings in general. Mass shooting just make you. This mass shooting is terrible. It's just shooting in general. Like there's too many. My personal point of view is there's too many guns on the street, you know, and it's too easy to the easy accessibility to get guns. Whether it's, I mean, again, what's the price? You know, Brandon, guns in Australia is like outrageous. You can't get one unless you're like super rich. You know what I mean?
That's right.
That's
in the UK, it's the same way. The
yeah,
UK put a firearms, not a ban, but they put some legislation in after a school shooting. I forget what year it was, 2014 or something like that, I read. So they put some legislation, and then they put the price of guns and stuff up and bullets. It's been 9,000 and some days, and they haven't even had a mass shooting in the
right.
UK. I mean,
right.
It's not the world has a problem. It's the United States has a problem.
Right. Right. So we kind of have the answer. Let's just implement it. You know what I'm saying? We kind of have the answer. Let's just implement it. But again, people holding on to that amendment like amendments can't be changed. And that's my piece on it. I'm not going to expand on it here on the Crossroads Sports Show. If you want to follow me on Three Foolish Men, I'll go back and forth with you, whether you agree or disagree with me, or if you want to hit me up on Facebook, you can. Jonathan Birdsong, Facebook. There ain't too many of one. There's just two of us, but I'm the black one, right? But But like, nah, man, it's something has to be done. And like, I'm not desensitized to it. I know you're not desensitized. That's the first part. Nobody, please, people, don't ever get desensitized to it where you just move on from it. You know what I mean? We have to continue to talk about it. We have to continue to ask for change, whether we're waiting on Congress, the Senate, the President, the Mayor, whoever. We have to change, man, because this is sickening. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yep. Moving forward, next topic, John. PGA Championship was this past Sunday. A lot of drama in that. Before on Wednesday, I made my bet on DraftKings. I put money on Justin Thomas to win. JT had a good Thursday and then started kind of slipping on Friday and Saturday, and then he was seven shots back going into Sunday to Will Zalatoris and Mira Petra. And Petra just completely blew up on the 18th. You could tell the pressure got to him. His tee shot on 18 went in the water when he just needed to lay up and play. It went to an aggregate three-hole playoff. My goodness, what a great Justin Thomas repeat champion. I won my bet. JT, great, great, great tournament. It got cold and windy as hell on Saturday, and that's what killed Tiger Woods. The cold weather, the heavy winds. He fought. He did make the cut, but Saturday, he did withdraw, and I was fine with him withdrawing Saturday, not playing Sunday. You don't want to see him out there with how that was going. But,
right.
But yeah, PGA Championship lived up to the hype. Really enjoyed it. We've got about a month out now before the U.S. Open. The week before the U.S. Open is the live event for the Saudi-backed group that that Phil Mickelson was kind of outspoken with, and so was Greg Norman. So we'll see. But, yeah, we're about a month out from it.
Brandon, I always yield my golf knowledge to you. I did call bits and pieces of it this past weekend. I always ask you this, man. I think Justin Thomas is solidified in his position as one of the all greats that we currently have. Does he have to win a Masters in order to be in that upper echelon, upper tier, though? Because we're talking about a two-time. He finished, I think, the highest he ever finished in the Masters. I don't have the notes in front of me. I think he finished like fourth or fifth. I think it was fourth, right? I think he finished fourth in the Masters. I think he's highest there. He never won it. And he never won the U.S. Open. He never won the U.S. Open. But this is his second PGA. So what does he have to do to be considered in that top tier, you know what I'm saying, status of – he has to win a Masters?
No, I don't think so, because Rory McIlroy is labeled up there, and he hasn't won a Masters either. That's the last thing that's keeping Rory from a Grand Slam is winning the Masters. Justin Thomas has got 15 tour wins. His best finish in the Masters – was fourth. He finished fourth in 2020. As you said, he's won the PGA Championship 2017 in the last week. Best finish was eighth in the U.S. Open, and then 11th best finish in the Open Championship. He's been a FedEx Cup champion already, and he's been the PGA Player of the Year twice. I think he's already up in that upper echelon.
Okay.
I think that's another thing where maybe you got to put rankings in there where you rank the guys now in a tier system. I could probably put something on Facebook just to kind of how you rank your tiered guys. JT, Spieth, you know, there's three or four. I don't want to put Morikawa up there just yet. Brooks Koepka has won the PGA Championship twice as well. But JT, I think, JT's got better stats than Koepka, so I've got him ranked over Koepka. I think he's up there. I think he's behind McIlroy.
Is he behind John Rahm?
No. No.
Okay.
John Rahm's only won one major so far. I mean, John Rahm's pretty young. He's a lot younger than JT. JT's 29 and, not a lot younger. John Rahm's 27. Rahm's only got seven wins. His best finish was fourth in the Masters. PGA Championship was fourth. U.S. Open, he won last year. And then the Open Championship, his best finish was third. So he's kind of in that echelon area. Where is he going to go? I think he's just got to get what's between the ears right for a length of a season. and I think he'll be okay. I will be interested to see if John Rahm ends up staying on the PGA Tour and doesn't end up going to the overseas Saudi-backed league. I know Ricky Fowler's been talking about him since he's just completely shit the bed with PGA and can't make a cut. That he may be going over there to make some money for the Saudi-backed league. And, you know, I heard on a podcast the other day when I was at the driving range, you know, the guys that are going to go to this Saudi thing are the guys who are going to be hurting for money, who need the money that they're going to get up front for going to this league. If you're on the PGA Tour and you're pretty successful already, you really don't have a reason to go over to that league, you know. Phil, the book, by the way, just so you know, John, I don't know how much enthralled with golf you are, but this book that's coming out here in less than a month about Phil Mickelson, I mean, there's going to be some bombshells in there with his gambling stuff. You know, he lost. I mean, he was 40-some million dollars in the red, John. He would go to Vegas after events and throw down million-dollar bets. And on the plane, he would tell his group that's with him, you guys place your bets first, because when I make my bet, it's gonna skew the line. The spread's going to change. You know how much money it takes, John, in Vegas for you to skew a line, to move a line when you bet?
There's some shit. Million, right.
Exactly. There's some stuff on Phil Mickelson that's going to come out here in this book, and it's not going to look pretty for him. It's not. And I was not shocked that he withdrew from the PGA Championship last week. And I don't even know, John, if we see him this year. He may just take the year off, which – I thought you should come back and do it when Tiger was here. That way it takes a little bit of the edge off of you. But I just don't think we see Phil this year at all. And this book that's going to come out, I think that might just finish off the rest of the year for him.
Wow.
It's coming.
Wow.
I've seen some excerpts about it, and my goodness. So we'll see what happens. Just a normal, I forget where they're at this week with the tournament, but about a month out, U.S. Open. Looking forward to that one there. John, I want to dive in real quick to baseball. MLB, my Cincinnati Reds are still trash. Is what it is. My question to you, and I know we don't talk much about baseball, but I don't know if you followed much with the Josh Donaldson, Tim Anderson, Jackie comment that was made during the Yankees White Sox game, where was it month last year or so, Tim Anderson called himself, and there's quoted, he's quoted as calling himself the next Jackie Robinson.
Right.
And Josh Donaldson randomly just said the other day, he just called him Jackie, and people are blowing it. He blew up, and there people are blowing up like, this is the most racial thing ever. And how dare he, with it, you know, and I talked to Reggie Sykes yesterday when we were playing golf. I asked him what his thoughts on it. He said it's not a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think what he said should have caused the ruckus that it has. Reggie said, hey, Jackie, you know what? That's a compliment to be called the next Jackie Robinson, like that type of quality player and everything. And then Josh Johnson called him Jackie. And Tim Anderson decided to blow up, and then Grandal, the catcher, that started the whole fight behind the home plate. Right. What's your thought? What's your opinions on that, John? I don't see a problem with it.
My opinion,
compared to
my
other
opinion
people
on it depends upon. I wasn't there, right? So I don't know how he said Jackie. How he said it. Like, are you trying to poke the bear? Are you trying to say that again? Call yourself, you know what I'm saying, Jack, you know what I'm saying, Jackie Robinson is real lofty and in the brain, like in 2020, 2021, like again, what Jackie Robinson experienced as a baseball player, what this particular baseball player experienced is going to be, one's going to be a mountain, one's going to be a molehill. Still something that you have to be noticeable of, but Jackie Robinson's spirit, the kind of bigotry, racism, overt racism, all those things, to where, you know what I'm saying, 2021, present day, racism is kind of covert, right? So here's what I would say. Rather than it get blown up by the media, You know what I'm saying? Because baseball struggles to find positive stories anyway. Isn't baseball the place where you just kind of handle all your business anyway? You know what I mean? So just, you know, I'm not saying ignore it, but Brandon, I'm gonna tell you what I'm like, dude. You call me Jackie, you gonna be the bitch. You know what I mean? And
right.
Colorful term. You know what I mean? And you just hand like that, because you think you're teasing me, like I gotta run to the media to tell, like I handle my own out here. This is
right.
Grown man's. I mean, I was told baseball was grown man, so like you teasing me, maybe however you want to look at it, whether it was racist, which a lot of people don't think it was, or whether it was, you know what I'm saying, this dude really thinks he's freaking Jackie Robinson. Are you kidding me? Okay. Regardless of what I said it, I stand by it. If you got a problem with it, let's go. Cause you know,
right.
And I deal with the, you know, that's how I think you should do it. Rather than let's Fox Sports make content about it. Let's make the New York Post make content, Crossroads Sports make content about it. Punching. Okay, you know, and I'm not advocating violence, but that's what they used to do. Baseball got no problem with people fighting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You get a game. You're playing 160-some games any freaking way. If you have to sit out one because some dude said something you didn't like, okay, so be it. That's baseball.
Yeah. Yep.
So, like, again, they should have self-governed it, man. And that's where I would have, you know what I'm saying, would have handled it.
Sounds good. All right, we got a caller. D-Cot, what's going on?
Gentlemen, Jonathan, I could not disagree with you more. Absolutely not. And I'm going to tell you why. Baseball is the most sensitive sport in the history of American sports. This is a game where a guy hits a home run and stands there for approximately 2 seconds. The team is offended. They come out the dugout. They're crying. The nerve of him to watch what he just did.
Oh, grandstanding.
Watch what he just did. This is the most sensitive sport there is.
They
don't want to fight. But
they
handle it.
They handle it on the court.
Exactly,
so then the next time the pitcher bings him.
But this is my point. But this is typical of baseball. Sensitive. Tim Anderson's no better. And, of course, Tim Anderson has some get back to get because of last year's incident with his wife. So he's got some get back to, hey, look at me. I'm a better man now. I'm a better man. So all these things come into play when you're talking about guys doing something. And all those things do matter because a lot of times folks don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And I'm not saying I do, but what I'm saying is I do know about that Tim Anderson situation with his wife last year. And, again, it was a lot of speculatory stuff, but probably a lot of accuracy to it also. And then on the other part of that, from a baseball perspective, anybody who watches baseball shouldn't be surprised. They're soft like that, man. I mean, and again, him calling him Jackie Robinson, he said it in a negative term, I'm guessing, right, to trigger him. And all it did was trigger him. He got a one-game suspension. It's 162 games. That doesn't mean anything, man. Donaldson's, I think, 36. 37, he probably needed a day off. So if this all works out to the betterment of Donaldson, he's going to look like the victim because he's going to say, this guy was sensitive. He's in the New York market. The Yankees are in first place, which I love. They're going to support him, biggest market in the country. I mean, Donaldson won in this. Anderson lost, point blank. But the point I wanted to make about it was just, again, I disagree, man. Yeah, he could throw hands at him. But the fact is, it's typical of baseball being sensitized to things that happen around them. So from that standpoint, yeah, it's to me, it's really a non-story, man. It really is. And I know there's a lot of people making hay about it, but I think it's a non-story to be personally feeling about it. You know, have either clubbed him, but you know, you got to realize Anderson's not pitching. So he can't do much.
Let me ask you this, D-Cot. If this is not... This ain't not be much of a story, but let me go to two other guys that are doing a little beefing. your boy Nick Saban kind of put his foot in his own mouth, didn't he?
Oh, you know, I'm going to tell you this, right? I'm going to tell you this. Here is it's two
here
sides
comes the
of
defense.
This, right?
The nerve
of him to bring up this what's going on, right, about Deion. I don't have a problem with the Texas A&M deal, right? But you bring up Deion, come on, man. That's like a millionaire saying, hey, this guy's making $12 an hour. The nerve of him getting a bonus. Come on, man. That needs to stop. However, doing the math, pure math, what Nick, again, I hate saying what somebody meant because that's not cool because I don't know Nick. I didn't talk to him. But what I think he's saying is, listen, yeah, we recruit and we do all our things like that. But for you to go from no more than 2 5 stars in any recruiting season to now to go to 7 in one season, that's like what Ole Miss did, man. That's like what Blue Chips did, right? But come on, he's calling that out is what I think he's doing. And I'm not saying he's right, wrong, or indifferent. I think that's what I think he's doing. You all saw the movie Blue Chip. You know what I'm talking about.
I think y'all ain't giving Jimbo enough credit. I mean, he had a good Florida State squad. He's a great coach, great recruit.
Hold on. This is his fifth year. What are you talking about? Come on now. Brandon, fifth year. This isn't first year. This is year 5. So I'm not impressed. So don't do that. So no. I'm not saying and you can't tell me he's a great coach until he gets there, right? You know, just like the guy's a great recruiter. Look what Ole Miss did a few years ago when my man DK Metcalf and those guys were there, right? Same thing, right? You know, so I understand the context of what Nick was saying. My point is he could have had somebody else say it. He didn't have to put himself out there, which to me was irresponsible.
How I took it is that, like, these coaches are having a hard time dealing with guys team jumping.
Yeah,
okay?
Too bad.
So
they do it all the time anyway. Too bad.
I bring a kid. Well, it's not to this level, though, where they're using side coaches or conglomerates to contact kids. Hey man, come on over here. You the fourth or fifth kid on Nick Saban's bench. Come on over here. Come on over here. Or new recruits, come on over here. So it's the wild, wild west and there's no sheriff. The NCAA didn't, instead of embracing it, I'm not blaming anybody.
They turned a blind eye to it. The NCAA didn't want to
They, you know, saying, remember this like 6 seasons ago, man. They was like unionized. Everybody thought that was a crazy thing, and I still think it is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the money just flowing everywhere. They should have got in front of it so that it wouldn't be like this, so that we wouldn't have, man. You know, saying, come on, man. It was already much of a joke, like these guys going to class or whatever. But like you can't graduate by going to 5 different universities in 4 years. That's not.
Well, you can. You can if you pick basket weaving. You can, right? So,
right.
But I
looked at it. I didn't lose my mind about it, Brandon Deacon. I really didn't, man.
I didn't either.
I mean, what's his name? Dabo was saying it too. He just didn't say it right. He didn't say it to the level of how Nick Saban said it. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, let me give you my perspective on NIL, right? Because a lot of people are all on different sides of the fence. I love it. I want chaos. I want pain.
No,
I'm going to give you my reason why. Because years ago, to your point, Ed O'Bannon, he talked about this, right? And the NCAA said, these guys, they're not going to do anything. They're like NFL football. They're not going to do anything. Worst union ever, by the way. NFL football. NFLPA, worst union ever. They're thinking, hey, this is what it's going to be. But what they didn't take into account of, the politicians getting involved, saying, listen, we're going to enact this on 1 July. And those folks out here on West Street said, it'll pass. We don't need to address anything. And then when it did happen, they got caught with their pants down. And then now all of a sudden you want to fix it and be mad. That's what I love. I love these young kids being able to make a decision. Now, listen, let's be honest here. over half of them are making the wrong decision, all right, about transferring and all. Over half of them are. I get that. I get it. What I'm saying is, though, you have a free will to go and do as you choose. Now, let me flip this
right on
you. 2020, the COVID process hits, right? Think about this. Now, there was no players getting paid, no NIL other than, you know, brown bags full of money. And they went a half a season without people in the stand. NCAA lost its mind, cut sports, cut women's sports, cut non-money revenue sports because of a half a season. That tells me you can't take care of your money anyway. Don't tell me these kids, oh, they can't take care of their money. The NCAA proved in the summer of 2020 that they can't take care of their money either. Remember, let's think about it. They cut.
I don't necessarily argue from that point. I just don't understand. So, okay, like who's running the program? Who controls the program? Is it the coach? Is the athletic director?
Well, it's supposed to be the coach. But listen, when you were saying, hey, we're going to do this 1 July, and you said, I'm not worried about it. That's just like if your kid says, hey, I'm going to go out for 2 days, Dad, and I'm not going to tell you where I'm at. He's, I'm not worried about that. Then all of a sudden he really does it. Then you're like, oh, blank. Too late.
Right.
You had an opportunity. You failed.
Right. The second thing I would say is that what if a kid signs a deal for 2 years and doesn't necessarily live up to the height of what he signed for?
Oh, that's even better. I love it because it happens every season when you have a 5-star who doesn't hit the field. You got a 4-star who doesn't hit the field. You got dozens of guys who in high school were the man. All world, and they don't make it. So that won't change. So the difference is that kid now.
I don't know
how
about
to
it.
Look,
not well, it might tear teams well, apart.
Well, listen, I know it will. And until they get some guardrails in place to make this work the right way. But unfortunately,
okay,
they underestimated the power of those players and their handlers, i.e. agents, let's call it like it is, school coaches. Greedy parents, greedy AAU coaches. They underestimated that. Shit, so what? Because you had an opportunity to fix it, and you didn't. I don't like people saying, and what I don't like hearing is, I'm getting fired up about this. I can feel it. So what I don't like to hear is when I hear these talking heads say, well, these young guys, they got to be careful with their money. They don't know what to do with money.
No, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I don't have anything to do with that.
It's a two-parter, though, right? You can't have one without the other. Because I promise you, if the NIL conversation comes on XM84 tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, which you will, and I'll be listening, I promise you that topic is going to tie in to kids don't know what to do with their money. You can't have one without the other. So what I'm saying is, until the guardrails are in place,
I tell you what, D-Cot, there ain't no more kid gloves though. You better come to practice. You better put in the work.
That's my point.
You know what I'm saying?
Not to pick
on Xavier Johnson. There won't be no let's run down Walnut at 90 miles an hour. There won't be, we got caught smoking weed in the after hours. Like, you're a professional.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
We could
go some other names, too, but I won't because my boy may be listening. Son stayed there and went to Houston. So I don't want to say that. But my point being is, to that point, right, I think this is going to benefit programs like Bama because guys are going to say, well, wait a minute. We got enough guys. Alabama, Clemson, USC coming strong, a few other programs, they're going to be okay. It doesn't matter. Their depth is there, okay? So the problem I have are going to be those meddling D1 schools, those Ole Misses of the world, Clemson basketball of the world, meddling programs that way, right? I think those programs, to me, and I could be wrong, are going to suffer more because I don't think that Nick Saban is – and I saw someone say, well, Nick is worried because the playing field is being even. Man, are you kidding me? Come on, man. This
yeah,
playing
no,
field
I
ain't going to be
easy. I don't look at it like that, man.
Bama has a $20 million surplus with regard to recruiting. $20 million. Okay? Let's not act like, you know, this is poor Nick Saban, and he's not saying, oh, it's a shame on me. And that's because people, they don't want to see Bama win. I get it, right? But don't get it twisted thinking, oh, well, now Bama's upset and scared. I promise you, Bama will have a top three recruiting class every year that Nick Saban is there. Anybody want to wager? That's fine. And I'm telling you now, I'm taking all wagers, as I said to you guys last year. This is the year that they'd win the title, not last year. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen because they've got the best quarterback, and they've got the best cachet. Because to your point, guys are going to be making $500,000, you know, $250,000 a year. That's
right.
Going to tear some of those locker rooms up. That ain't going to happen in Bama. That ain't going to happen, right? So that's why I say it doesn't matter a lot. Right, yeah, it's
coming
in Bama. Maybe some others too.
For you.
I'm not saying they're not. You remember, Johnson, I mentioned him already. But this just ain't the year they're coming, though. This ain't the year they're coming.
Uh-oh.
So I'm just saying, I love it, man. I love the chaos.
Well, hey.
The NCAA had an opportunity, and they chose not to do anything about
it. We got that Saturday, Brandon, find out when the game is being played, when A&M plays Bama. We will convene then, and we'll watch the game together.
Okay, listen, let me tell you something. Like, I'll tell you guys this, and all my guys, they'll tell you.
I don't sit here and watch the game with anybody but myself.
This is man.
The one time they lose, he doesn't want to hear
unless,
it.
Listen. They won a hell of a lot more than they've lost when I watch them privately. Unless there's little mama with me, very rarely would I watch a game of that magnitude. But in this case, I'll make a deal with No, not at all. No. Because I just like to focus on the game, right? A lot of guys, remember how y'all would give me hell when they were behind with Auburn, and I didn't post anything until after the game. I like to focus on the game. But here, I'll make a deal with you.
Okay.
Because the game, I want to say, is week 5 or 6, which would put us around end of September, early October, if I remember right.
October 8th.
So let's do this. I'm sure I'll have an opportunity to catch a preseason Pacers game in Bainbridge, Bankers Life.
That's not good
Pacheco.
Enough, D-Cott.
You guys got to go
with
me.
After the game, because you're the number one caller here at Crossroads Sports. You can tell Reggie Sykes I said you're the number one caller.
He knows it.
Me, you, and Brandon will go live, and we'll just break it down.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. But listen, I need you guys to hang with me either exit 109, I-74 going east, or we hit Pacers preseason game or something along those lines.
Are you still going to the draft party? You still going to the NBA draft party?
Hey, man, that's my anniversary. I'm going to say it loud, low, because my wife may hear. That's my anniversary, man. I try every way I could. I was like, hey, everything. I don't want to get to right now. But that's my anniversary, man. 29 years.
That's okay. That's
29
okay.
Years.
Right.
You know what she told me? She said, oh, sure, you can go to the draft. Don't worry about it. Are you kidding me? Ain't no way in the hell I'm going to the draft, man. That was a sucker bet all day long, man. I'm not doing that. No. So unfortunately, I won't be at the draft, but I will be watching it from Louisville because we're going to go out of town and we're going to spend –
we'll watch the game. We'll watch our game in our separate man caves or whatnot, and then afterwards we'll break it down. You know what I'm saying? We'll get on a Facebook or Instagram, however you want to do it, or even Twitter. We'll get on there and we'll break it down together.
I tell you what, I may even – listen, since it's you guys, I love you guys to death. You know what? Mark it down now. Mark the tape. We'll watch the game together. We'll watch it together.
Uh-oh.
There we go. We'll
watch it. Mark the tape. I'm committed because I love the show that much. Talk trash about you guys to all my friends. I try to get them to listen. I'm telling you now, October 8th, I mean, we pick the place. Pick the place, and we'll make it happen.
Okay. Well, right. I got one
hey,
thing for you.
Go,
hey, Dika, I looked it up.
We still go live, though. We still go live.
I looked it up on DraftKings. What do you think right now they got the spread at?
Bama is given 6.
They are the home team, by the way. Bama's the home team.
Yeah, I know. Oh, believe me. I know. Believe me. 6, they're giving 6.5 to 7.5.
16.5.
Oh, wow. What they're saying is Nick is going to be really upset. And I'm going to tell you, here's the tie-in. Remember when LSU beat Bama in 2019 and they did all that talking? If you go back and pull the interview with Nick when they came to Tuscaloosa, what he said in the on-field interview, he says, we got to make them feel a little bit of discomfort because they're a little too comfortable right now. And they went out to blow them out the water. So that's what they're thinking. But I'm going to tell you now, I say Bama by less than 10. It's not going to be a nail biter, but less than 10. I say a touchdown, 10 points. I say in that area. But I think the game will be one of those games where it's not close, it's never in doubt, but it won't be some blowout.
Okay.
All right, D-Shot.
Mark, we're in, fellas. You pick the spot, I'm there.
All right, October 8th, Crossroads Live.
Last thing, Jonathan, tell him, tell Reggie who the number one caller is so he can be a little bitter.
The Crossroads Twitter account has let Reggie know that as well.
I'm going to chime in, too. Hey, love the show again, guys. I appreciate it, and I'll catch you all next week.
Thanks, D-Cott. All right, John. D-Cott chiming in. You quoted and said the number one caller.
Brandon, we rolling. We talked NIL, college football, college basketball. We rolling today, bud.
You hear that dump truck backing up a little bit when we start talking about Nick Saban? It start backtracking a little bit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Nick Saban walk on water in D-Cop's house. So,
swinging over to the. Actually, you know what? Let's take a quick break. Let's hit our ad reads real quick. We come back. We'll dive into a little bit of NFL.
Absolutely.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also, shout out to Scott K. Nichols Jr., who has joined State Farm Agency of his dad's. So another generation has joined the fam, John. I just saw it on Facebook the other day. So Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance is growing and growing and growing. So give them your business. If you need it, you need insurance. Hey, who doesn't need insurance, right? With what the hell's going on these days? Go out and get it. Join them today. Give them a call, 317-243-3509 or ScottKNichols.com for more information. I also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Motor Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Worldwide, yes, I said it. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Give them a call today at 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628, or check them out online at maverickcustommotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you.
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic and commercials, available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
All right. Well, thank you to our three sponsors, Wiseman Logistics, Scott Nichols State Farm Insurance, and then as well as Mavericks Custom Motorsports. John, I want to dive into the NFL. A couple things. The NFL Combine, it was announced. I worked downtown, big downtown hospitality for the last 12 years. The NFL Combine is going to stay in Indianapolis the next 2 years. That's huge, not only for the city of Indianapolis, but also the hospitality industry. And every year I talk to the NFL guys that are downtown. They love it here. So it's a win-win. It's a no-brainer. Apparently there was no the NFL just said, you know what, they then knocked it out of the park with what Indianapolis does. So Indy 2023-2024 combine is here. I can't say more. I love it.
Yeah, it brings in like over $10 million per year to the city of Indianapolis. It's an event that the city of Indianapolis has kind of mastered, you know. It's held primarily in a centralized location. You know what I'm saying? Again, it's a win. It, you know, where the media converges, players converge, NFL converges, kind of takes over. I always like it when I see the Dallas Cowboy bus because it's huge. You know what I'm saying? And then you see, you know, say you'd be walking downtown, you see all these big 6'5" or plus, 300-pound plus, you know, saying guys, you know when it's combine time, shame on me, combine time. And, it's an event that I'm glad that's staying here. I know there was, you know, a lot of rumors and whatnot saying it's going to be the last one, but I'm glad it's staying. And then, you know, with you being in the hospitality, you know what I'm saying, industry, man, you know, you get to be around those folks and you get to hear some of those rumors a little firsthand before they hit the internet, man. So, no, man, I'm glad that the combine is staying.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of Colts news, John. Nick Foles, who's worked with Frank Wright in the past, Nick Foles has signed with the Colts. We got a backup quarterback now. You've got Matt Ryan, Nick Foles, and Sam Ehlinger, your three quarterbacks for the Colts. Your thoughts on the Colts signing Nick? It makes sense, I feel.
It makes sense, man. You know, and we're not bringing Nick Foles to be a starter. I know, remember mid-season last year, everybody was, you know, a lot of folks were chiming in talking about what was going to happen with Nick Foles. Was he going to get cut by the Bears, or was the Colts going to trade for him? You know what I'm saying? You have to leave it up to Chris Ballard. He remained, you know what I'm saying, kind of even keel on any type of, like, just sell the farm to get Nick Foles when, hell, we can get him in the offseason. So, yeah, he improves the quarterback room. If Nick Foles, if something happens, you know what I'm saying, with the starter, Nick Foles has been competent enough of a quarterback to hold it down for 2 or 3 weeks, which can happen. You know what I'm saying? Which can totally happen in this black and blue bruising league that is the NFL, man. So what I say about that, man, Brandon, and they also brought another running back from the Ravens organization. His name escapes me right now, but like Brandon, like the money is getting a little thin here. And we have Kenny Moore looking for an extension, and we got T.Y. Hilton living on an island.
Yeah.
So, and it ain't with T.Y. Hilton as a fresh time right now. He hasn't signed with another team, and the Colts haven't made him an offer yet. So, and again, there's only so much money that's going to be thrown around here. Perhaps that chapter is closed right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Odell Beckham's still not signed. I think the Colts should throw whatever they have left and try to go out and get Odell to see if you can sway him. In fact, he's still a free agent out there. I think your days of T.Y. are done. I think it's just time to move on from that. I've already said rip the Band-Aid off. And like you said, yeah, Kenny Moore, out and not practicing the OTAs, which you can think what you want of it, but he's unhappy with his contract, which I put on Twitter, rightfully so. You know, but I also have a thing where, John, where I feel like you signed a contract to begin with, you kind of should honor it, right? I mean, even with work, like you feel like you should honor your prior commitment, because if you do believe in yourself, you should have great seasons during that current contract to build you for the next one, not to have it all sit out and say, well, shit, I ain't playing no until I get a new contract. I like Kenny Moore. I think he obviously had a great season, but it's time to I think the Colts, they need to wait to get him re-signed, and he just needs to get over it.
Right. 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 Even though you thought in your mind, you and your agent thought you've outperformed that, the, you know what I'm saying, the performance of that contract, man, just play it out and, you know what I'm saying, and understand. I mean, I know, man, it's hard to be in that position to what I'm getting ready to say. Just play it out and see where this Colts team is going to go. If everybody's on board, right. If we're all chips in, to quote Jim Irsay, then the AFC South should be in the Colts rear view, and hopefully they can get back to their winning ways and get to a playoff game and win, you know, and put themselves in it. Maybe it potentially, Brandon, I know pie in the sky, a home game if they can win the AFC South and blow away. But again, if everybody's coming in disgruntled and nobody's showing their OTAs or anything like that, then we're not going to, you know, it's not going to bode well for the Colts season.
Yep, absolutely. John, 20, by the way, we didn't talk about this in the last week's show, but Tom Brady secured the bag to be the Fox analyst after he decides to retire, and he hasn't even, like, done the job or practiced it. Fox just said, we'll throw the bag of money to you.
Yeah, I guess if you want the second-best quarterback of all time to co-host the show with you, with Amazon opening up its doors, and I'm joking about the second. I hope the folks in the Boston market and in Tampa Bay market, you know what I'm saying, chime in on us or whatever. But, like, if you think about when Amazon started to do games next year and some of the folks getting shuttled around from ESPN to what Amazon's doing, and there's also going to be some shuffling going on at Fox or whatever, because isn't Troy Aikman going over to the Amazon broadcast booth?
Aikman and Joe Buck are on ESPN.
Okay. All right, but see, they used to be with Fox. So, you know what I'm saying, everybody's looking for a chip, a voice, you know what I'm saying, to right. You know what I mean? Tony Romo's kind of regressed a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Some of the shine that he, you know what I'm saying, that those bright points that he had the first two seasons with him calling games hasn't been over this past season or so. But, like, no, man, everybody's looking for that next, like, enhancement talent. You know what I'm saying? ESPN, yeah, with the Manning brothers, what they have at halftime. Everybody looking for more enhancement time to get more people, you know what I'm saying, football nerds like me and you are going to watch. But they want to get even more eyes and ears on football. And that's kind of what this movie is, to have Tom Brady kind of call games or give his two cents on, like, what, you know what I'm saying, what he would do in these types of, like, what he thinks is going to happen. How much did he get? $37 million? Is that enough, you know what I'm saying, for Tom Brady? I don't know. But that's what was negotiated. So the minute he retires, he's back to making, you know what I'm saying, $40 million plus. I mean, you have to tip your hat to that.
Uh-oh. John, I may just mark it on the list. What is this? Is like the 10th round or so that I've gone round and round with IU basketball fans. So go ahead and start the next feud.
Would you get in trouble, man? Somebody chirping?
No, I ain't get in trouble, man. Rick Bozich, is that the Mike Woodson thing where he's talking to 900-some IU fans up at this thing? And Woodson says, quote, if you're chasing the best NIL deal, you can't wear the Indiana uniform. He said it still starts with education with him. And I quote it and go, yeah, sure it does, Mike. Yeah, we'll see.
Brandon, everybody does know that your original home is West Lafayette, right?
Yes, I hope.
You gotta differentiate your Purdue fandom from your IU.
Listen,
your
I'm just saying, Mike Woodson's gonna be under pressure at some point to produce winning at Indiana, right? They're gonna have to throw some NIL out there to get people. That's basically what's keeping Trace.
Right. I'm not trying to poke the bear here, but I bet you they're saying the same thing at Purdue, off Purdue's campuses, that winning is the primary goal here, not necessarily how much money you're gonna make as a player here at Purdue. But they've won more. I get what you're going to say. They've won more at Purdue in the last 16 years, right? So there you go. You won that battle.
John, do you know what started or what not started? Excuse me. What happened 24 years ago today?
Was it got to do with the Pacers, Uncle Reggie?
Oh, what a great shot that was. Reggie pushes off on MJ, buries the three. Oh, I know I was jumping around in my Pacers jersey back in the day, and that was back during the damn glory days. It makes me sad watching it again here, but 24 years ago today, Reggie with the push over Jordan. John, 24 years, man. I feel old now.
He didn't push. He just got open, and Michael just, you know what I'm saying? Michael just slid, man. How could a 180-pound Reggie Miller really push a 240-pound Michael Jordan?
Hey, low-key.
You know what I mean? But
low-key, Jordan almost made that following shot. It was in and out.
Right. That was a great game. If anybody remembers, great back and forth NBA games. That was one of the great games. Rick Smith actually played, didn't play like a, you know what I'm saying, rhymes with itch. I'll just leave it out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Didn't play like a punk. How about that? You know what I'm saying? As he was known to, he showed up. Reggie Miller definitely showed up. And as this day, I mean, dude, that was a great, even though the Pacers came up short, that was a great series, and that was definitely one of the, Reggie Miller's all-time great games. I actually put it that game over, Brandon, over the 9 points in 6 second game when he, you know what I'm saying, when he, now the reaction, what he did with the Knicks, the choke, that's priceless, right? That's on Reggie Miller's all-time,
right.
You know what I mean? But, like, no, this particular game against Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls, nah, man, that was a great moment in Pacer and Pacer history in a great moment. We're going to great Reggie Miller's greatest moments of his playing career.
Yep, absolutely. Next thing I want to bring along, John, is a big event this weekend, and you can't not hear this and think of what happens every Memorial Day here in Indianapolis. And that's all we'll play for copyright violations. That way we don't get copyrighted. Back home again, Indiana. Gomer Pyle, RIP, rest in peace. The Indianapolis 500, John, the 106? Yeah, 106 conversion this weekend.
Yep.
Weather looks great this Sunday. Pole position, pole was last weekend, last Sunday, exciting racing there. Scott Dixon is your pole sitter again for the race. I'm excited, John. I've been going through the odds all week so far. The odds have been changing a little bit on DraftKings. I've marked 7 drivers who I feel has great value. If you put a little bit of money on them, you got a great chance of winning. 7 drivers. I've knocked out 3/4 of the field that has actually had a shot of winning this thing. to be honest, I mean, listen, you got your top tier guys. You've got your guys that are roaming. You've got your back markers that don't really have a shot at winning. And then you have some guys just above them that, based on fuel mileage, and if the pit stops go just different and you save on fuel and the cautions happen right, you may get yourself up there in one of those spots. So Scott Dixon, obviously the favorite, +5, 5-1 odds for Scott Dixon. I'm going to put a little money on Scott. Just, you know, hey, +5-1 odds. You put $10 down, you win 50 there. So doesn't sound too bad. His teammate Alex Palou is +6, 6-1, just behind him. Pato O'Ward, 9-1. I kind of like Pato O'Ward to possibly get his first Indy 500 win. Problem with him was being so young. I don't know if, you know, some of these young guys, if they can actually hold on for the full 200 laps, the 500 miles. Some of them get a little antsy a little too early. It's a grueling, grinding. It's going to be 80-some degrees out. It's going to be a hot Indy 500. Got to have the patience for the race. Joseph Newgarden with Team Penske. I like him and Will Power. Newgarden 12-1. Power 14-1. I'm going to put a little scratch on them. I feel like Team Penske, while they didn't have a good qualifying week, I think they're setting up for the race trim more or less. I like Joseph Newgarden. I always put a little bit on Newgarden. He's going to get his first Indy 500 here sometime soon. It might just be this week. Jimmy Johnson switched over from NASCAR last year, did all the road courses. This year he's doing the full schedule. Had an exciting qualifying, almost put it in the wall, but end up qualifying. I believe he's starting out in the third row. Jimmy Johnson, 16-1, he can win it. He's got the speed. He's got the team with Ganassi. Chip Ganassi Racing right now is the head of it with Scott Dixon, Alex Pillow, Jimmy Johnson, Tony Kanaan's my next guy at plus 20 to 1. That is probably one of my best value picks is Tony Kanaan 20 to 1 to win. He's fed fast. He's got the race team. This is a great opportunity for Kanaan to finish out his career with an Indy 500 win. So I like him possibly. And then Simon Pagenaud, he moved over to Meyer-Shank Racing this year. He's back teammates with last year's champion from Meyer-Shank Racing, Elio Castroneves. Simon Pagenaud is 25 to 1. He knows how to work his way up from back in the field to win, as he did in 2019. He starts in the back of the field again. I think he's going to work his way up there once again, and that'll be a name to be here. So I like Pagenaud, Kanaan, Newgarden. Will Power hasn't had the speed, but he's going to be there race day, and then obviously Scott Dixon. And you can't put anything away from Alex Pillow. So I've got a little bit of money on like four or five different drivers here to kind of shake it up this Sunday for the Indy 500, but always an exciting time. John, you have any thoughts on who you maybe like, who your pick is?
Yeah, man, you know, I always want to go bigger and better historical, who's ever done it before. So if Helio Castroneves can win this race, it'll be his fifth. That's rarefied air for him, for sure. I don't think anybody else. Shame on me. I know Danny Bridges would know this off the top of his head. But shame on me. I don't think – has anybody ever won five Indy 500? Right. So that puts him in rarefied air. You kind of got to like somebody – hey, I didn't hear you mention. You kind of got to like Alexander Rossi, who hasn't won since he was a rookie. He hasn't won the big one, this one anyway, since 2016. And – you know what, man? Tony Kanaan, he's full of crap, man. But I mean that in a good way, because like this ain't his last race. not at all, man. This ain't his last race. So, but like, nah, man. I think maybe he's just kind of hoping that the next race that he runs in the 500 is his last race, and like he'll retire on top. I think that's what it is. But because like I heard his presser today, and somebody asked him, would he race? He's going to be 48 years old this year. And you know, saying now, he's got three kids. He's got a son that's like his oldest son's like 13. He's got another 5 year son. And now they're racing go karts and whatnot. So like, how much time does he want to spend enjoying that instead of like focusing on his own career? But I think he really wants to win the 500 one more time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then I think he kind of evaluate. But those are the names that I kind of like. I don't have as many names as far as probably gonna be damn near. Brandon, out of those eight names, it'd probably be somebody you said, and then my guys would probably be, you know, I don't think any of my guys are wrecked or anything like that, but if you ask me to bet, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be somebody that you've never heard before, or definitely not a favorite, but like if those are the guys like how I'll be watching or listening to rather on the radio, unless it's a blackout. Alexander Rossi, Tony Kanaan, and Helio Castroneves, man, because again, I think, I don't know, there's some history there with those particular drivers. And they haven't necessarily won, except for Helio, they haven't necessarily won in recent memory.
Yeah, and Justin Powell on our Facebook Live, thanks Justin for listening. Rinus VK starting in the middle of row number one. He's been fast. He was fast last year. I like VK, Justin. I really do. As I said earlier, I just don't know if. As young as he is, this is his second Indy 500. Does he have the patience for 500 miles at Indianapolis? You know, it always tends to be those veterans that have it. Obviously, Rossi did it his rookie year in 2016. But it's those veterans that can sit there. No, they're not going to win the race in the first two laps. I can just see, you know, VK trying to make a move when he doesn't need to or so, and it puts him in a bad spot or he ends up getting too high and wrecks into the wall. But, you know, VK, you have to believe he's got a good shot in there. I do like that. I didn't mention it, but I like Colton Herta. Colton Herta from Andretti Autosport. He's won a few races this year. He was hot last year. I like Herta. I mean, he's 15 to 1 to win the 500. I mean, I've got shit, I mean, I don't want to put money on the entire damn field, right? I had to put some guys I picked and some I didn't. Colton Herta at 15 to 1. Marcus Ericsson, 18 to 1, and this dude's starting in the second row. There is no respect for Marcus Ericsson, who drives for Chip Ganassi Racing, who has a fast car for this race. He looked good in practice as well. Marcus Erickson, 18-1 is there. John, I didn't hear you talk to you about your boy, your Butler boy. He always ends up running well and qualifying well. Ed Carpenter, the Butler Bulldog, 18-1 himself. Ed, he's had a few – he's finished well in the last couple races. Before that, when he started from the pole, he's had a little bit of bad luck, not his fault. But yeah, so, you know, looking at the race, Marco Andretti at plus as 50-1. I just don't – Marco doesn't have the speed. He had troubles in qualifying with the engine shutting off and then just not overall speed. So unless – John, that's one of the guys, Marco, I could see with a fuel mileage game. Possibly having to save fuel, maybe getting on alternating pit stops and the rest of the drivers. I could see Marco possibly, if he can do this, the fuel savage. Also back there is Juan Pablo Montoya, who's won it twice, 2000 and 2015. He's back there at plus 8,000, for him to win. J.R. Hildebrand at plus 100-1. J.R. Hildebrand could have a good run, be in the top 10. He's finished in the top 10, I think, five or six Indy 500s. He was, what, one turn away back in 2011 from winning his first Indy 500 when he put it in the wall, and Dan Weldon passed him for the win there. So J.R. Hildebrand will probably have – I'll probably put a little bit of money on Hildebrand to have a top 10 run for this weekend's race. But looking forward to it. Indy 500, always a great time. Going to be a great race, and hopefully they'll lift the blackout. If they're saying they have their 300,000 fans that are going to the race, you think NBC might lift it? We'll see what happens. Probably won't get word about it till tomorrow afternoon or Friday for the actual thing, so if that's true. Yeah, Penske didn't qualify too well, but I think they're more worried about race setup from what I've heard than the qualifying, so as what Justin just said. All right. Our guy's on the phone, John. We'll finish with him. Reggie Sykes, who, Jonathan, you said is the number two caller in Crossroads Sports.
No, I'm still number one. I can never go down to number two. I mean, you know, my track record speaks for itself. I don't have to call in for a whole year. I'm still going to be a better caller than D. Cox.
Oh,
so,
man.
You know, his takes are biased. He's biased. And, you know, he generally doesn't know anything about sports.
Yeah, it was a little biased when the Nick Saban criticism came up, man. He started throwing excuses up, but.
Oh, yeah, he always throws excuses up. That's what he does. That's what he does. But, you know, Jimbo was right. I mean, Jimbo may be going overboard a little bit right now, but, you know, he's right. I know all your dirty laundry. You trying to call me out? Now you wanna call and apologize to me? No, I ain't taking your phone call, boss. But you know what? Since he's doing that, he's gonna have to step up and prove it. You know, Alabama's them boosters been paying. They've been having NIL deals. They've been having NIL deals since Saban got there. You know, I mean, it's no secret. You know. Stop complaining because the playing field's level now. The only people with the NIL deals are going to hurt are going to be the smaller schools that don't have the revenue of the SEC. It's going to be, I think Ball State got some good money. I think Indiana State, it's going to be the schools after that, like the SWAT, the Southern Universities and stuff, you know. And how are you going to call out Deion Sanders and Jackson State? Shit,
Reggie,
$1 million.
Reggie, you gotta send him a bigger check now. You get it back on your taxes. You get it back on your taxes, man.
Well, some schools just can't compete. That's why you have, and I approve of it. I don't have a problem with it, but that's why you have the Southern Universities that I love and I attended, and that's my number one school over every other school. Playing LSU this year at LSU. That's why you have Tennessee State playing at Notre Dame, because these budgets, those one games can fund their budget, their sports budget for the year or 2 years. I mean,
right.
You kind of hate to put the kids in that predicament. A few years ago, Southern University played at Georgia, and I think I've been over this before on your show before, and the kid got paralyzed. And that's why I like Georgia over Alabama. because that coach sent his private jet to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and picked up that kid's parents and brought him back and told him don't worry about nothing. The school told him don't worry about nothing. So when he got better, they raised money. He's still in Atlanta or wherever he's at. They built a handicap-equipped house for him. You know, Georgia really looked after that kid, and that wasn't a Georgia kid. That was a Southern University kid. And that made me level my respect game up for Georgia a whole lot because they didn't have to do that, and they did it, you know. But you wonder about these smaller schools playing these major conferences because you're going to risk having kids getting hurt. Because I think SEC has some of the biggest, strongest. Go ahead.
Right. You're right. No, I think they survive. I think at some point everything kind of it'll level out because they're giving the wide out from Pittsburgh transfer to USC. He got $3 million. Well, dude, you know what?
Okay.
If that don't show improve out there, they ain't gonna be another $3 million check for another wide out to transfer. That you know what I'm saying? That's not this money's gonna flow right now because. There's a lot of like it's like the internet when we the dot com when nobody referred when the dot com blew up and nobody knew like you had to have a dot com and then you know what I'm saying then the market changed then the dot com just kind of
I understand what you're saying. I think those schools they have way more boosters and have more rich
they
boosters.
Do.
So I don't think those deals will ever go away. But for the smaller schools. You know,
man,
it's going to be hard to compete.
Them dudes, why would I give? I'm not saying you ain't right, but why would I keep on funding the school? Like, we trying to get, I mean, not we. If I'm a booster and I'm a conglomerate, I'm trying to get my school to the four, you know what I'm saying? If you ain't in that four, like, dude, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying?
But you know what?
Brandon and Reggie. Go ahead, Reggie.
That advertising boost, you know, like the lawyer – where is he at? In Florida?
Miami,
you know,
in Ruiz.
Kid to come. I mean, you know, the advertise, just the, any publicity is good publicity. So,
true.
I'm just saying it's the smaller schools that's not going to be able to keep up. And I'm just mad at dummy Saban and dummy Durham Cut for going off on. And Jackson State is a Southern University rival. I really don't give 2 cents about Jackson State. But I'm not going to let somebody from Alabama talk about Jackson State because he's in the SWAC. You know, Deion isn't even getting paid $1 million. How are they going to get an NIL deal for $1 million? It didn't happen. Now, the kid probably did get a little money. Probably somebody there, a Crane's Chicken or somebody that gave him a little bit of money or something, you know. But they're not getting the type of deals that they're going to get in the SWAC or in the out west or out east, the conferences out there. They're just not going to get that kind of money. But hopefully the playing field is leveling. And of the Southern last year, or was it 2 years ago, they actually beat LSU once or twice in baseball, not football. And I remember at Southern University when Southern made the NCAA tournament and when Georgia Tech had Travis Best and John Sally and Avery Johnson and Bobby Fields, they beat them in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I remember that also. So hopefully it starts coming around to other sports, but I still think it's going to be a while, just like I think it's going to be a while for an NBA team to come back from an 0-3 deficit. That's eventually going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I'm calling in late. I'm sure Daryl Cott called in and didn't talk about nothing but Alabama and how their draft class is ranked behind Texas A&M and everything, you know.
No, Reg, we got a little bit of time, man. I got to ask you, man, while we got you on the phone, man, because I know you're a season ticket holder. With the goal, you got a package with the coach, man. What do you think about some of the moves they made, especially with them improving or some people's, you know, whatever they kind of think about Nick Foles? What do you think about the quarterback room now that the Colts have kind of put together?
Oh, man, it's going to depend on the wide receivers. They're going to have to use, I think,
right.
Naeem Hines in the slot a little bit. He needs to be on the field a lot more, not only as a decoy, but you got him on the field and Jonathan on the field. I think that's a great combination where you
can
split one of them out or split both of them out.
He could be our Debo Samuel.
Our wide receivers core has improved. I like Paris Campbell, but is he going to get hurt in the second game? And you know these guys, you say you got Stroud and all these other guys. What are they going to do? I don't know how I feel about our wide receivers. I don't know how I feel about bringing in Odell Beckham. I don't know how I feel about re-signing T.Y. I just don't know. But I like our defense, even though
Keenan
Moore's, you know, doing a –
The money's getting thin. I don't know how. I don't know what the T.Y. would have to sign for, like, $2 million.
And that's
insulting.
I mean,
is that insulting?
No, that's not insulting. You're on the back end of your career. You just want to get a year. He'll sign for that. If it's $2 million guaranteed, he'll sign for it. But if it's not guaranteed, then he may not. I mean, wasn't his last contract, like $50 million or something, $60 million?
The last big one, that was it. Yep, like 4 years ago, I do believe.
So I mean, $2 million. I mean, you got 60. Why don't you get this two? You know, build legacy wealth. You know,
I got
but,
you right.
You know,
right.
What about them? What did Brandon say about them sorry Steelers? I mean, the Colts played Steelers this year. There's a lot of smack talking going on between Steelers fans are talking trash to me. And Cowboy fans are talking trash.
Well, they play the Colts this year. They do play the Colts.
And Bears fans.
We don't play the Bears. Bears don't count. They still mad about just seeing Prince at the last Super Bowl. They didn't get to watch the game. Or when they watched the first play, Devin Hester. And then after that, they didn't watch anything else. It was over for them. They were done. Done. So they just watched Purple Rain. And Purple Rain. You know, that's all they did, you know.
Oh, shit.
Hey, man, I'm glad you tagged me on Facebook, man. I was in here busting my butt hard, and I needed a little bit of break. So I'm calling late. Next time I try to call when that dummy D-cop call, and I'll shut him down, like Alabama's going to get shut down this year. Go Colts.
Well, we're doing a
go Pacers.
We're doing a live this year. If you can join in, I think you can get four people in. We're doing a live this year after the game. When they play A&M, because there's going to be a lot of hype going into that game, especially with them kind of going back and forth.
Yep.
So we're going to do a live, you know what I'm saying? And we invited D-Cott. If Reggie, if you have time and you get to come in, you have to be professional.
I will be professional. I won't cuss. I won't dog him out. I won't be the what's the guy on ESPN? I won't be him.
Stephen A.
Okay?
Stephen A.
I'll tone it down. And I'll back up my facts with facts. And I won't call him a dummy that he is, girl. And
You can call him that if you want. You get three of them. You get three freebies.
I won't talk about Brandon cheating at golf yesterday. I won't do none of that. You know,
I didn't cheat.
I'll be very professional. Yeah, cheat.
Brandon, what's going on here, man?
Listen, I was.
Money, man.
Oh, I cheated him out of money. Yeah, I'll cheat him out of money, I guess. Yeah. I did do that. But I was very nice all day in our round. We rode together. I was very cordial all day with him. Could have been a lot worse. So, all right, Reg.
You guys, I'm going to carb day on Friday, so I'm having a good
Stay
time.
Dry.
Hopefully I see some of the cars run. Hopefully I won't drink too much scotch. But, hey, it's a pleasure. I enjoy your show. Shouts out to Scott Nicholson. Shouts out to all your sponsors, and you have a great day.
Thanks, Red. All right, John. We've heard from the two.
You told him to stay dry on carb day. Yeah, right.
What? It's gonna rain.
Well, I thought you meant non-league.
Well, that too. But you know, that too. Man, D-Cott is going in on Reggie right now on the Facebook Live comments.
Nice,
I hope Reggie goes back and reads those. He's
coming
at him. John, you got anything else before we wrap up?
Nah, man. I think we had a great show. We talked everything from NIL to college football to racing and everything in between, man. Nah, man. We had a great show today.
Perfect. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. We will we'll be back next week, I believe on Wednesday. I just got to look at some schedules and see what all pieces together. But we'll be back next Wednesday. We'll recap the Indy 500. We'll talk NBA playoffs. We should be ready for the NBA finals, so we can kind of talk NBA finals. I think it starts the following day on that Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday is NBA finals game one. So we'll talk that and more and any other of the crazy sports news that happens between now and then. So take care, everybody. You know what? See somebody, meet somebody out there, shake their hand, give them a hug, spread some love. That's kind of what we need right now in this world. So do that. We'll see you guys again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.